welcome to There Are Four Hosts. As always, there are four hosts. I'm Sabrina. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at VoidCatGaming. And I'm very happy to tell you that one of us is back, Jay. Hey. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Hey, this is at JustAverageJay on all socials. I apologize for missing the last couple episodes. I had a bit of a medical thing going on, and as you can hear, my voice still isn't 100%, but I couldn't wait to come back to the podcast, so thank you very much for having me back.
And we could not wait to have you back, believe me.
Yes, we're very excited you're back. And I'm Michael. You can find me at Blue Beetle Games.
All right. Oh, yeah, and then I'm Keith. I usually, like, the host says, and what about Keith? Anyway, it was my bad. I'm Keith. You can find me on Twitter at Keith Hayward.
Alrighty, so as you guys could tell from the intro, I'm in charge of this episode again. So so sorry, everyone. But here we are. So let's start. Keith, I know you wanted to do like bad first and then good and then like mixed feelings, but I actually kind of want to try my own thing, if that's cool with you. We're going to talk about specific parts of the episode instead, so we can kind of like mix all the good and bad together. But before we do that, overall impressions, Michael?
I liked it a lot. Of course, that's probably no surprise to you guys, but I liked it. I'm surprised it's only been three episodes in. It seems like we've had a lot more. They've crammed a lot into three episodes, so I enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, for sure. They sure have. Jay, how do you feel?
Overall, I actually really like the show. I'm really excited to see where it's going. Yeah. I'm really excited to see where it's going. Excuse me. I will admit...
But this episode.
Yes. I will admit that this episode was my least favorite, episode three, which we can get into later.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure we'll cover it. Keith?
I actually like this episode. This was my favorite of the three. Yeah, I'm still, like, not sure how I am about the full show, but it's more of, like, a thing that made me less frustrated about Star Wars, where you go to yourself, you look at it, and you just, like, know yourself, this isn't Star Wars. It's not. You let it go. Like, all these things that don't make sense is because it's not what you remember Star Wars was. And for this, like, I'd be very upset with a lot of things, but it's time to, I had to let it go. Because, like, they are completely and utterly not trying to do Star Trek the way I liked it. And what they're doing now with Star Trek kind of being Firefly-y. All right, mm-hmm. Go for what you guys want to try, and I'll let go of what I want and try to get with this. And, like, I did kind of enjoy the interaction between characters, the build-ups, and the overall feel of this kind of Star Trek.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I think it's going to be troubling for me to continue trying to watch Star Trek Picard without thinking of it as kind of like an alternate universe, because so many of the things that were intrinsic to Star Trek for me, like the things that were intrinsic to Star Wars for you, are not resonating so much in this series. Again, I understand why they're doing it, because they're trying to reflect the, like, what happened to my country that people in America are kind of feeling right now.
Yeah.
But what happened to my Star Trek, you know? So I'm going to try going forward to consider Star Trek Picard as being kind of like an alternate universe Nemesis-style Picard rather than TNG Picard. We'll see how that affects my feelings in the future. But excellent. All right, so let's talk about the episode specifics. So the episode started once again with the thing that happened on Mars, and then transitioned into the 14 years ago reaction of the then Admiral Picard. Before we say anything else about the scene, I just want to compliment once again the uniform division.
I honestly
like these 14 years ago even more than the current ones.
Same.
That like back shot was gorgeous.
Yeah,
so
the uniforms
uniform
are amazing.
Team, you were doing a great job.
Absolutely.
That gold band,
yeah,
the gold
one.
Band on like Picard's
beautiful.
Uniform. Fuck, man.
Yeah. All right. That being said, I feel that we've had three episodes, and all three episodes have started with the Mars thing, first with Picard's, like, dream of it, then with what actually happened, and then again with what happened. I didn't mind in the first two episodes because it was, like, Picard's version versus the real version, but this third version didn't give us any new information, and I'm just kind of done with starting episodes the same way. How do you feel about it?
I think they're going to be like, hey, we spent so much money on this scene, you're going to watch it again. And again, if you have to. And also, I guess it keeps us framed. Like, the whole thing of why we're back in this kind of world is because of that incident, and it needs to keep coming up.
I think it's intrinsic in the storyline, though.
Yeah.
Michael, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't think they need to keep bringing it up. I mean, it was a cool scene, but yeah, they just, unless they're adding new info every time they show it, they don't need to bring it up again, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we're already so limited with just 10 episode, you know, seasons. Yeah.
And they're all 45 minutes.
I know. I would love it if they would take out the repeat stuff and just keep the story moving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, like, when what Jay said, I keep on waiting for the moment where there's a payoff for this. Like, each time we see it, like, maybe there's like a hint of something we didn't notice before, and that's why they're doing it, if, you know, they want to do a cool story.
But they were just like all scenes from the previous episode scene, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think we actually got any information there.
I just keep looking for it just in case. Maybe that's what they're doing, but I think they're just doing it for the lower rent reason of we spent a lot of money on this scene.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay, so I guess none of us were actually pleased with that opening. So while we're talking about that scene, that was 14 years ago, and that's when we saw the end of his career, but also the end of, I'm so sorry, I forgot her name.
Raffi.
Yeah, that is Raffi. Okay. Raffi's career. What's the name of the pilot? Write that down.
Rios. Captain Rios. Yeah.
Okay, that's why I was like, I thought Raffi was him. They're both four-letter R names. And I remember people's names by how many letters there are and what letter they start with, so that really messes with me. Okay, Raffi. Keith, I see why you wanted to talk about Raffi. So, since she was in that scene, let's talk about Raffi. I'm not going to go first this time. Keith?
Let's see. Raffi, I'm not totally sure how I felt, but I think it was okay. Like, in this version of Star Trek, you do need to have some resistance to the call to the adventure, and then she got to do some, like, acting. So instead of, like, doing what, you know, any normal person would do, Picard wants me to go to space with him. Holy crap, let go. I'll get my jacket. But, like, you know, she needs to, like, do some acting. She needs to flesh out her character and show some emotions, and, like, you know, like, that's what actors, I guess, you guys like to do. So I was okay with her tortured self, except for, let me see, my note that I put down here that I'm forgetting that I'll maybe bring up later. Oh, I think, no, it's what Sabrina, it's what you said about her lifestyle that made me go, oh, yeah, that's not happening in Federation Earth anymore.
Yeah, can I cut in with that?
Yes, please.
Okay, the thing that Keith is referring to is a thing that is really bothering me, which is why I definitely have to think of this as an alternate universe. I know that we've kind of been like, Gene Roddenberry's vision was too perfect and it bored the actors in TNG. All right, I get that them having arguments with each other is like a little unrealistic. But I'm still, the core of it was that we were a utopia that was post-scarcity. We all took care of ourselves. We didn't need money anymore. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden having a scene that's like, you're rich and I'm poor doesn't make sense in that post-scarcity world. So I guess we've just gotten rid of that altogether. And I'm very upset by that because, again, Star Trek when I was growing up was kind of like my vision of the world seems hard and harsh now, but we can evolve into something beautiful.
Amen.
Where we all take care of each other, and them taking that away from Star Trek really hurts me.
Oh. I 100% agree. I actually... Amen. But, Raffi's character... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's it. And the fact that they were like, and she's a stoner because she can't deal with her life made me like extra sad.
I was just gonna say
emotions acting.
Yeah, Raffi. So big shock to everyone, but Raffi is probably my least favorite of the show so far.
And I actually wasn't that impressed with her acting either.
First off, all right, let me just. I'm back. I'm jumping in. All right, first off, don't call him JL.
Oof. Yeah. That was weird. That
irks me so much. It's like, no, he's the fucking captain. You're going to receive, like, I don't care how casual you are off hours. Like, you're at Starfleet headquarters. Like, he's like,
she was on duty.
Like, don't call him JL. I didn't like that.
Although technically he had been relieved of duty, so he was no longer a Starfleet officer when he called her.
Which, but she didn't know. Right?
But he hadn't she told her that.
That's true.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, that, like, Jean-Luc Picard is a badass. He is the epitome of the captain. Like, he is the captain. He does what's right and whether that's against Starfleet or not, which is one thing I love about this show. But he's always done that. But the thing is, he's also commanded a certain amount of respect. And when you start taking away the, I can't think of the word, but when you start making it more casual, that takes away from that respect feeling. You know what I'm saying? So definitely. The JL thing I didn't like at all, actually. And
yeah, it's like at the end of TNG, they were all close friends, but they still, you know, called him Captain or Picard. The only person who really didn't was Bev, and still she called him Jean-Luc. And like she almost, they almost, you know, got together. Yeah. So
I mean, I do have,
they did get they together did get if married. You follow some of the timelines.
Like exactly, yeah. And All Good Things, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah. Can I say Michael? Something to the JL thing?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
So specifically on the JL thing, I also winced and I was like, oof, each time. But then it made me think about like the expanse of his life and how he grew and changed. So like there's a interesting thing where the Enterprise D, like it felt like it was a lifetime to us. Like we spent so much time there and like it was incredible. Mm-hmm. But he actually only spent 7 years on the Enterprise D, where he spent 22 years on the Stargazer. So that he's been changing throughout time. So like in the Stargazer, he spent 22 years. He was like a pilot first, and then he became a captain. And then I can imagine that he did grow into the top of his game at the Enterprise D and became the captain that we know. But then at the end of that series, he did become more of a, maybe I should become friends with my team. And then on his next ship with the Verity, with her, I can see that he might evolve as a person and with his relationships. So I don't like it if I would slap a person if they did it in TNG. But like no, they would never.
But maybe the relationship was different.
Yeah. Off my ship. I like ship. That, Keith. But yeah. But yeah, now he's evolved. I can see that, and it made me interested in like, so what was the dynamic of his next starship? Like, what was that team? And then it's like another thing that like people complain about in Star Wars, like. All this like flashback stuff, man, looks like something really interesting happened back then. I wish that was the TV series or the movie. And you know, him being a different captain on a different starship with a new number one that's totally different, that sounds so interesting. So yeah, that's my balance of the JL. But like, yeah, I get why you guys don't like it, but it's possible to evolve. And you would never do that on the Enterprise D.
Okay, fair enough. No,
Michael?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from you yet about this one.
I've been quiet. I didn't dislike Raffi or mind her as much as the rest of you guys. I mean, I didn't. She wasn't my favorite character, but as far as the utopia, you know, the future and Gene Roddenberry's vision, I mean, I guess I never had that feeling like Sabrina, you did, you know, when you were growing up about it. So I don't have that emotional attachment. So my thought was very like, it was kind of just like, well, even if you reach a utopia, it doesn't mean it's always going to stay that way. And there's going to be some, it's not going to be, I don't know. I feel like it could not be perfect, even though that's what a utopia is supposed to be. But I feel like there could be people that have fallen through the cracks or whatnot. So I didn't
mind. Yeah, but I feel like.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I feel like the people who fall through the cracks are usually like colonists, not people who are on the capital planet.
True. Yeah, and maybe we'll get more of her backstory later, but no, so I guess
especially because she's ex-Starfleet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she shouldn't fall that far.
Unless she chose to distance herself from it. But
and that they had the idea that she was fired because Picard was fired was weird.
Yeah, that's I wrote that down too. That seemed kind of weird. I hope we get more info on that because that just seemed kind of, I mean, unless they did something improper, I don't think she should get fired. Mm-hmm. But that's just
I feel like that's another thing that was for the plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make her disenfranchised.
In sci-fi books, there's like a fluctuation of humanity where we like become freaking awesome, then like we go through dark periods of sucking until we become awesome again. So like while I grit my teeth, I go, maybe that's what's happening here. I don't want it to happen. But like I can see that's what they're trying to go for. And also in Discovery, I'm pretty sure the story 1,000 Years of the Future is like eventually the Federation does fall and they got to rebuild it.
Yeah. While we're talking about 1,000-year timelines, just like a little thing on the side that I saw somebody mention online. So the Tal Shiar are secret, and they're keeping the secret of the Zatvash, but the secret of the Zatvash is millennia old. So was that before or after the Romulans left Vulcan? Maybe. Maybe this is a shared history.
Ooh.
I don't think that's related to the episodes that are going on right now, but just while we're talking about timeline.
Well, I don't know, because Commodore O is Vulcan, so maybe it does go back to the shared timeline, you know?
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
And she also fell in love with the Karate Kid once, so that's
pretty
cool.
Yes. Squeeze. She sure did. I love that we're all giant nerds and we're all like, oh, she was in this. Oh, she was in this. beautiful. All right. So anybody else have any thoughts about Rafi?
I do like her. I like the performance, but I didn't think it was a great performance. Like, so I saw her acting and giving it her all. I didn't think that she did the greatest job in the world, but I saw that she was trying. And
that's what kind of
balanced it out for me.
You saw her acting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the issue for me. There are moments where it was like you rehearsed those physical movements.
Oh, yeah.
You rehearsed when you were gonna look away. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
That's not.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a form of acting. I admit it. It's just not the one that I like.
I think I have to chime in and say it's a little bit disconcerting that vaping still exists in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, cut loose.
Maybe that could be medicine or something. Yeah, you don't know.
She's growing her own herbs, and they make her paranoid. Okay.
Oh no.
Right.
She has a prescription for that.
She did say that, didn't she?
So, now we'll follow Rafi along to her next step. Let's talk about Rios and that ship. Okay, not the ship yet. Not the ship yet. Hold on. Hold your horses, Keith. Let's talk about Rios first. I'm just going to cut in with the thing I found interesting. So, this ship that Picard is putting together has him, ex-Starfleet, Rafi, ex-Starfleet, Rios, ex-Starfleet, and Agnes, who I think is still Starfleet, but she's like a science division. So I find it interesting that they're building this, this is the Federation now. It's not so great, and everybody that's cool left 10 years ago-ish because of the Mars thing.
Yeah.
So they're definitely setting up, like... Again, the what happened to my country kind of thing. I'm just not sure that Star Wars is the place... Star Trek, sorry. I'm just not sure Star Trek is the place I would have done that, but whatever. It's a story that needs to be told. So how do you feel about Rios, Jay?
You know, so far he seems kind of like a badass. I like him. Mm-hmm. I still... It's kind of that whole utopia thing. I mean, just to see him with a cigar irks me, just because, well, because it's like, it's the whole vaping thing, it's the whole cigar thing. I mean, I get it, like, there's still wine, there's still alcohol, so of course there's probably still tobacco, but it's just something I've not really seen. So at first I was like, whoa, wait a minute, okay, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, but then I'm like, all right, whatever.
It kind of feels like Star Trek is absorbing other sci-fi stuff when I'm like, Firefly. Oh, but you were the premier one, you're the one who, like, to steal words from somebody else who talks about video games, as in, like, there's prime video games, like Assassin's Creed was the first one to introduce, like, climbing on stuff the way you did, and then, like, Uncharted and Tomb Raider and stuff copied it. Star Trek is a prime show. Yeah. It's the one that created that world that other worlds, like, tried to kind of take from.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to take from other sci-fi shows, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, I do like him. He seems like, you know, he's the... You know,
the Han Solo.
You know what's funny is I was gonna say that, but I wasn't sure. Like I wasn't trying to cross that line, but he kind of is. He's like the tough guy.
We were just talking about how it's taken from other sci-fi, so don't worry about it.
But yeah, it's like
Malcolm
the,
Reynolds.
You know, all we need is Chewie in the in the co-pilot seat, and we're switched completely over.
What do you mean Chewie? He has an ENH that looks exactly like him for that. Do you think he has a whole crew of holograms? Like, it's him and just, like,
that's
a bunch of other
up.
Hands.
That is pretty funny.
That'd be an awesome TV show.
They all look like him.
He distrusts everyone so much, he's like, screw it, well, I'm going to start my own crew, and it's going to be me, and hologram me, and hologram me, and hologram me, and hologram me.
Did you notice that there was the EMH and the ENH?
And the ENH.
Yeah, so he has, like... Mm-hmm. So,
no, I didn't notice
this
that.
This is interesting. But, I mean, he seems like a tough guy, but he also, you know... The whole speech when he was like, she told me that you're a speech giver. You know, when he was like breaking him down, like, oh, you're Starfleet to the core. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, like, I get it. That's pushing the story forward. And they're trying to kind of like make him redeemable, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess. But still, you know, I'm curious about him. I liked his character. I liked his acting. You know, I'm curious to see where it's going, and same thing, I'm kind of curious. I wish we knew a little bit more about his past.
I wish that they let us discover his past instead of having the AMH and the ENH tell us.
Yeah.
That he quit. I feel like they could have done that differently. But
I did not notice the two holograms. Or is one a nurse and one is a doctor? Or is
no,
the...
ENH stands for Emergency Navigation.
Yeah, navigation.
Hologram.
Oh, holy crap.
Yeah.
So the one bugging him about his injury was medical, and the one bugging him about navigation was the navigation one.
Cool.
Keith, how do you feel about him?
We're an alternate Star Trek, so sure. I guess I like him. He's Malcolm Reynolds. He's the rapscallion that everyone likes to have in their show. And my first note on him is that Rios seems to really enjoy acting. Like, he's all in on all three of his characters.
Yeah,
and having
fun.
Wild fun, it seems. His doctor version to me seems like he's auditioning for Doctor Who. Like, he straight up looked like he was potentially the doctor himself. So yeah, I noticed that, and yeah, I think I like him. He's a little too straightforward, and once again, I think the biggest problem is that, like, no one comes to Star Trek for this. It's like you go to other places for your space cowboy, and here I miss my smart science astronauts.
Yeah.
But you know, if this is what we got. He is having fun, and I think he could be a fun character.
Keith, you know this about me, but I used to say that Star Trek was the show that I watched when I wanted something, like, cerebral and moral, and Star Wars was the movie that I watched when I wanted some action-adventure.
Yeah.
But I feel like this Star Trek is now the action-adventure, like, Nemesis Action Picard! So I'm a little disappointed about that, but I mean, like, okay, so people who want action adventure Star Trek can watch this and Discovery and Voyager sometimes. And if I want my old soft cerebral Star Trek, I can just watch TOS and TNG. And yes, or... I know the Orville. I got it.
I'm sorry, I have to say it. It's so Star Trek, it's crazy. Like, I just want to get this out of my off my chest too. Like, so I think what I'm experiencing lately in fiction is what happened to me in comic books, where, like, I got into Wolverine and X-Men, and, like, I was having a great time until they changed the writer and the artist. All of a sudden, it turned into something uglier and, like, uncomfortable. And it turned out that it wasn't, like, the brand name that I was enjoying. It was, like, the creative teams that I need to follow instead. Mm-hmm. So where Star Wars stopped doing normal Star Wars, to get something genuine, fun, expansive sci-fi, I had to enlist in the Stargate program.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm not getting Star Trek...
I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then now that I'm not getting Star Trek anymore, Seth MacFarlane is belting it out of the park by, like, cribbing hard from TNG, but not...
Mm-hmm. He's definitely TNG-specific.
Yeah, he's not cribbing. Yeah. He's not insulting it. He's not making fun of it. He loves it. It's the same show, and you just get all the things you miss. And yeah, you just, unfortunately, sometimes you have to let go of the brand name and go where the creators are.
That's kind of like the Star Trek continues being so TOS. I feel like Orville is so TNG. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Definitely. Did I already ask all three of you about Rios? No.
Not me.
Michael?
No. No, I got a very Malcolm Reynolds vibe, which I didn't really mind. I know, like, Picard is definitely not, you know, my old TNG Trek that I love, but to me it just kind of...
It's Nemesis Picard, it's fine.
It's better than Nemesis, but... I mean,
yes.
But
yeah,
by a long shot.
It's kind of weird between them,
yeah. Yeah, but I don't know, I kind of see it as a natural progression of Picard, his character. I mean, it doesn't seem like... I'm not watching it and being like, whoa, who is this guy? And I see Picard in him, so... I don't know. I don't mind the whole action-y, you know, TNG kind of vibe, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to see where they're taking it.
Nice. My feelings about Rios are, I agree with you, Keith. I think he's having a lot of fun, and I actually, I love his acting. It genuinely feels like he's arguing with himself, which is particularly difficult when you're not actually talking to another actor in the room. I think it says something bizarre about his character that he wants all of his holograms to look like him, and I'm very curious to find out specifically why that is. I'm curious about his relationship with Rafi, which also makes me curious about that, what's the name of it? Freakloud?
ship?
Well, that's
the
that's
place we're
where,
going.
Yeah.
Free Cloud.
Yeah. Which is an interesting
name. She wants
name.
To go there.
Yeah. Oh.
It feels okay. like a. It feels like a. Like a.
Last Destination.
Black market type planet.
Honestly, to me, it feels like a damn cyber cafe. Like it's like,
yeah. That's what I mean.
Free internet, free cloud, free internet.
Yeah, free cloud is like, come here, where you can do all the sketchy stuff on the internet your mom told you not to do. Dark web.
Jeez.
Okay. So while we're going through the crew of the ship, I'm just gonna throw in there, because you know I have to, that Agnes is adorable.
Yes, she is.
But also, and we're gonna talk about the fight scene later, but I quite like her development so far, even if she's very little of it. Like, all of her actions make sense to me, and she's the one who feels the most Star Trek to me. Like, she's genuinely optimistic and excited about the world, and
Yeah.
She was just really cute on that ship.
Yeah, she was.
Keith. This question is specifically for you.
Now
that we have seen the inside of the ship, how do you feel?
Very Mass Effect-y. It's called the La Serena, which is the siren, which I was not sure if they were trying to be cute about sounding like Serenity. but yeah, the ship's pretty. The ship's really, really pretty. It's red, white, and blue, which are like not for patriotic reasons, but I do love the color combination in my characters and spaceships.
It's in a lot of flags.
Yeah, it's a great hero ship. It's a bit generic for Star Trek. We just say how we feel about it, and so yeah. Once again, going back to that thing we always keep bringing it up, it's not a Star Trek ship. It looks like it's from Mass Effect, and like I would take it. It looks awesome, and it's just kind of weird seeing like this kind of kick-ass spaceship just hanging in orbit above Earth. Where is the Starfleet fleet? And like they can like just randomly beam up and down and nobody says anything. It seems like that should be like a little more regulated and watched out for, and maybe even a security risk.
Especially since he's like undocumented and the ship's undocumented, so you're like, how do you have such easy access? I was thinking the same thing.
What are you guys talking about? The Tal Shiar showed up at Picard's house. There's clearly no safety measures on Earth at all,
right?
Yeah, every time they do that, and like they start having shootouts in side places, I know it's not a Starfleet ship, so maybe it doesn't apply here. But I get a memory of Undiscovered Country, where part of the mystery was you can't draw a gun in Federation territory or you're in a starship. That's what they're saying. I'm bridging it too much, but like that people have wild shootouts on Earth in Federation territory, and like people not like the whole planet doesn't lose their shit. You're just kind of like, okay, let it go. You're in a different kind of Star Trek where shootouts do happen, and no, there's no sensors in like his chateau, even though he's, you know, former admiral. Anyway, but yeah, they're playing a little loosey goosey with that starship. It's beautiful, but yeah, it's not Star Trek.
It certainly feels like in the last 12 years, at some point, Picard kind of like accidentally made his way into like a slightly alternate universe. Like he landed in JJ's Trek, and he's like, oh, well, I guess I'll just keep going and see what I can do to make this world closer to the one I used to inhabit.
On franchise standards, it's exactly what we're doing right now. Like, they...
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
First off...
Because otherwise we're just going to get into, like, production and stuff.
I got to say, I know you guys probably already talked about this in the previous episodes, but...
Maybe we didn't.
But I think it's pretty awesome that two former Tal Shiar members, like, respect him so much for trying so hard. That they chose to stay with him.
Oh, Jay.
Yeah. That they chose to.
Yeah, you missed
that
it.
That they chose to stay with him.
I've been talking.
Yeah.
I've been talking nonstop about how I secretly believe they're a throuple, and I'm angry at the show for not allowing.
I think
this
I may have seen
canon.
A post on Facebook regarding that.
Yeah,
it's
maybe
on our Discord.
Maybe one where Keith was like, "Thanks, Sabrina. Now I can't. I have to see it everywhere."
Every time they're next to each other, I'm like, you know, at night, you know, they're probably, you know, probably really nice big bed. Sleeping.
But I think it's so cool. I mean, just that he, and I know that this is past episodes, but just how he was like, no, they're not Romulan lives, they're lives. Like, it just, That's my Picard. Like, that's my Picard. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And definitely. Then for them to basically, you know, be like, you're with us now. Like, we're going to take care of you. I mean, because he tried. And that's just it. I mean, there's so much that I don't know, that we don't know about the whole, like, Romulan fallout with everything. But the fact that...
Oh, I have so many theories about
but
that.
But the fact that they chose to be with him, I mean, that's... It's just amazing. Like, that right there, that... The first two episodes were just amazing for me. And this third one was my least favorite, but I still am absolutely on board for the show. Like, I love where it's going.
Good, good. I'm honestly disappointed that they stayed on Earth. They should be on that damn show. I'm glad this happened naturally. I didn't even have to, like, do anything for it. Let's talk about the fight scene.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the fight scene? Let's start with Michael.
I thought it was awesome. It was it really showed what, you know, the two caretakers, well, not caretakers, but the two Tal Shiar, former Tal Shiar, could do. It kind of showed why he keeps them around, I guess.
Lovers, servants, who knows?
it's all good in the Picard hood. No, that was a terrible scene.
I liked it.
I thought it was good. I loved how, what's her name, Agnes, at the end, kind of got the last shot, and how she kind of came in there and, you know, contributed to the whole thing. But I thought it was a great fight scene.
Maybe it was on stun.
You silly girl.
Oh, poor Agnes. Jay, what do you think?
You know, actually, I think it was a great fight scene. I think it makes total sense that there are, like, hidden guns everywhere, or hidden phasers everywhere.
Yeah.
Because,
from the Tulsier, kidding.
Yeah, so, I mean, And then the fight scene itself was pretty amazing, you know? I mean, just visually, cinematography-wise, like, it was, like, when... I forget her name, but when the woman gets slammed back and breaks the glass with the back of her head, and you see it through the other side of the glass.
Good shot.
I mean, the shots and the fight itself was just epic and beautiful and amazing. And then Agnes, you know, shooting and being like, maybe it's on stun. That was adorable. And just her reaction, like, her, she is such a good actress. Her,
She's my so gosh. Soft.
Like, she's so, like, you just want to, like, hug her.
I do.
But the one thing that I will say, when the guy was tied up, like, come on, if you're Tal Shiar or Jat Vash or whatever, if someone's interrogating you, you're not going to say anything. Like, the guy was just like, she's the destroyer, she's this and that, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, come on. Like, even people that aren't in the military know you don't say anything.
But Jay, if he doesn't break immediately, even though the only thing they did to him was spray him with water, how is the show going to tell us this information? You know.
Yeah, Jay.
Yeah, I know. How dare I? I know.
Actually, you weren't here for that. But I did complain in a past episode about how I feel like the show is telling me too much stuff and not letting me figure it out by myself.
Yeah.
So, I had that feeling with that scene. But it did give me all the information I needed to form a fully formed theory. Yeah. So, we'll hit that at the end of the episode. Right. Keith, fight scene.
Well choreographed, well shot. I did cheer when she got her head smashed into that door. That shot was amazing.
It's like, we love her, but the shot's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, I like, if you're in a fight, if you're one of my heroes on the screen, you got to take hits and be able to take it and survive and then rise above. Like, if you don't take any hits, I'm going to roll my eyes at the fight. Mm-hmm, but she took it, and it was awesome. Yeah. And then I'm like, you shouldn't do this in Star Trek. But yeah, let's let's go. And then, like, I like the sound effects. I like the blaster designs. And to be petty for 1 second about this Tal Shiar couple, please. I don't like the guy. I don't like his face. I'm being weird about it.
Whoa.
And, like, this is a very...
That's his face.
It's just a petty thing, and that doesn't matter, and, like, should not be held against him or the show. It's my own problem. Like, for some reason, when I see him, he looks too freaking pleasant, and it's bothering me. You're like go to your... Yeah, he's so perfectly pleasant. It just grates on me. I'm like, go to a coffee shop or something. And then, like, so just for some reason, like, his look gets on my nerves. But, like... And there's nothing wrong with him, and there's nothing wrong with the character. This is totally just, like, my problem. So
that's hilarious.
That's been just, like, every time you guys are like, oh, man, I love these two, I'm just like...
We'll do another episode about that, cool. Keith.
Oh, don't worry. When the show's over, we're going to keep going. We're going to have shows to talk about characters. Oh, yeah. We're going to have shows to talk about, like, storylines.
Oh, yeah.
We're... If you guys think that I'm not going to write down all the theories that you tell me and then give you a scoreboard of who did the best at the end of the series, I mean, cool. You're wrong. I'm doing it. Why do you think I keep asking you what your theories are? I want to win.
I love it.
I mean, I just want to see what interesting storylines you come up with.
Sorry.
I am so glad. I'm so glad that you want to win, but you
won't. Ooh.
Whoa. I'm just you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that as a friend.
You're not saying it as a friend. I am saying it as a friend. Oh, okay. You're saying it as a friend and yes. Not a combatant. Mm-hmm.
No, not a combatant.
I'm not just honest.
Yeah. There you go.
I agree with you. I thought, like, about the guns being hidden everywhere. Like, do I expect that on Earth? No. Do I expect that in a household with two Tal Shiar members who are protective of Picard? Yes. I think it would have been funny if the Tal Shiar had pulled out the guns and then Picard was like, wait, hold on a second, you've been hiding those in my house this whole time? But fair enough that he would already know about them.
They reach and they're not there because he doesn't like guns. Like, I got rid of them. I'm sorry. This is bad call on my part.
I like to believe that they were shooting on kill and he was shooting on stun.
Speaking of that, actually, how did that one guy survive? Mm-hmm. Did you see which shot was the guy that got tied up?
No, but maybe we should sit back and maybe it turns out exactly that. Picard is shooting on stun and the rest of them are shooting on kill.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Oh,
I hope so, frankly.
The Tal Shiar were using Federation weapons.
The blue shots, from what I understand, the Romulan disruptors shot the red. You're right, the red kind of pulse. The blue ones were the Federation, were Picard's, from what I understand.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can tell if it's kill or stun from the color, though, because, I mean, you can see it especially in STO, but Star Trek typically has, like, Federation is going to have blue weapons, Romulans are going to have green weapons, Borg is going to have green weapons, Klingons are going to have red weapons, you know. So, not sure about that.
Okay.
I thought that moment with Agnes was wonderful, that she shoots him to protect Picard and then, like, cannot handle the fact that she may have killed someone. I hope that comes up more in the future, and we'll see, as, like, she's the avatar of, like, the softness that slowly gets crushed by the world being mean, even though that's not what I expect from something that's centered. But they are leaving Earth now, so I think I'll be a little less frustrated. Anything else we want to say?
They should have went
about...
with him. There's no reason they shouldn't have gone with him. He's like, he's like, they're the muscle.
I am disappointed that they're not on the ship. Maybe they will be. Maybe they're going to have a storyline on Earth. I definitely want more of them.
Agreed.
Sorry you don't like the dude, but
I don't mind more of both of them, I guess. I'm just like, you know.
You have to agree that Irish Romulan is dope.
Yeah. The lady. Female one? I like her a lot. Yes.
Oh, and I did say last episode I thought maybe it was Welsh. You're right. It is Irish. I'm wrong.
Nope.
Okay. Do any of you have anything else to say about our lovely Tal Shiar couple?
No.
Just that the blaster designs clicked just now in our conversation where I had a spider sense tingle where, like, when they're drawing their weapons, and I was just, like, thinking that all of the weapons on the screen were Romulan, but I do like that they cared enough to differentiate the weapons and designs.
I did think it was funny when she slapped the guy in the head and was just like, Northerners, you know, like, just like you, you know, like, I thought that was kind of funny, just because people kind of give her flack for having an Irish accent, even though, like, who they're aliens, who cares what accent, you know what I mean? But I do love that she, like, differentiated herself, like, oh, you Northerners or whatever.
That was funny.
And then one last thing would be, I get massively frustrated if, like, you have your main characters, they get jumped by bad guys with weapons, and then the next scene they don't have extra weapons. I guess it doesn't need it, but I was like, when that scene was over and they had all those weapons scattered around, I was kind of hoping that I'd see Picard, like, you know, put one in his jacket, because, like, you're gonna need a blaster in space.
Well, the Tal Shiar are after us. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we're good on that storyline. So we're gonna head over to that Romulan Borg ship. They finally answered that question that we had about who was running the things. The Borg are still on the ship. That's why there's Federation and Romulans on it. But it seems the Romulans are running things again with their thing with secrecy. It must have been required of them to allow other species on there, because I feel like otherwise they'd be like, haha, the information will be all ours. Let's avoid talking about the prophecy scene for a sec, so we can, like, cover the other ground first, and then we'll specify on that one. So... I thought it was funny, too. Last episode, we saw the Tal Shiar twins, or whatever, the Zadvash twins, or whatever, the boy and the girl talking, and she was, like, still her human Starfleet, and now she's, like, in her Romulan self, and I'm like, wait, did you just leave Earth without telling anyone? How did you... all right. Keith, how did you feel about the Borg stuff going on the Borg cube?
I think that Hugh's an incredible actor. Holy shit. I was waiting for him to, you know, like, I didn't check his IMDb, so I'm not sure, like, how much he's been acting since Star Trek.
Yeah.
But I kind of expected him to be kind of forcing it, like, oh, God, you want me guys to do this again? All right. And then, like, you know, he'd say, you know, some forced lines, but we're glad he's there. But he was killing it. He had a layered, almost, like I'll even go there, even though I don't know if I'm using the term right, Shakespearean kind of, like, drama acting. Like, he was really deeply into it. I liked his performance. Mm-hmm. I think that Dodge/Soji is a Mary Sue. I don't use this in the sexist way that I hear it can be used, but more of, like, the, hey, we can smell our own. Because, like, I exclusively wrote Mary Sue characters, and my friends were really nice to me and never, like, you know, took me to task for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is exactly what I did, and it's not good. It's fun for yourself, but, like, yeah, if she's gonna be, if I'm gonna hold to Star Trek standards, like,
she knows all the things.
I like it with when I'm introduced to, like, a low level character who has to build up, not a high level character who started off at, like, level 20, like, on the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they're going to do the Chosen One thing, it's already been done very intelligently by Star Trek with Sisko, so...
Yeah.
Sisko, yeah. I have more to say about that later, but that's going to be in the theories section. Jay, how do you feel about what's going on?
So, back to the abbreviations. I don't like that they call them XBs.
X-Borg, yeah.
It's like, I don't... I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I get it.
Hugh calls himself.
Yeah,
XB,
I get it. But it's like, come on, don't no. Like, I feel like it's just like, it's too easy, and it's like I can't think of the word. But anyway, I'm just not a fan of abbreviations. Apparently, I didn't know that about myself until this.
JL XB. I'm done.
That's it. That's it. Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Two. That's too many.
Hashtag not my Star Trek.
Jay, there's no way I will ever believe that you have stopped watching
never.
Star Trek.
No, I'm a fan and a watcher for life. You know me. But on the Borg ship and the scenes, I really do love. Hugh is amazing, and Jonathan Del Arco is the actor's name, and he is phenomenal, and he is beautiful, and he is just so talented, and he really is. It's interesting because Hugh has come a long way from what we last seen him at in TNG, and just to see him in that kind of, like, leadership role with Soji and like, with being in charge, like, it kind of makes me wonder. I want to know what happened between TNG and this with Hugh. Like, I want to know him, more about Hugh, because Hugh has come a long way, and he's already a character that we are really connected to from TNG. So just, there's so much that I want to know about him. But the scenes themselves, like, on the ship is awesome. The scenes with him and Soji, just they work so well together, and he's so good. And again, not going into the prophecy scene, but you know, just everything else on the cube, you know, with her being so smart and being able to pick things up, like, you know, like, oh, I just ask and
just magically know some stuff.
You would think that she would pick up on the guy, like, kind of using her, You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think that she,
it's her first romance? Yeah,
come
Jay.
On, like, come on. I mean, so it's like, you know,
and he's the hot Romulan. Come on.
And, you know,
I got some things to say about hot Romulan.
I bet you do. No, but I. But that being said, maybe she does know. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe she, like, it's a theory, you know. But maybe she does know that there's something else going. But it's just the scenes are great. The Borg cube is cool. You know, Sabrina, you know I love Borg. So with the fact that there's a Borg cube that's being reclamated that is like, that has all these different, you know, species on it, including the X-Borg, not XB. That's, I think it's super cool. You know, I'm really enjoying that aspect of it.
Michael?
I was just chiming in on like the what has Hugh been doing between the show and now. I have a little story. I ran into him once in the Beta Quadrant, deep in space. I was
Are we talking about STO right now?
Yes, I am. Okay. Yeah, I was looking into a distress beacon, and like me and the Pendragon 2 got jumped by a whole bunch of Borg. We were outmatched, outnumbered. It was almost the end, and then Hugh jumps in on his new kind of. It's not a cube. It's a weird, his own starship that he has. And he helps save the day. And, like, his story that I saw there was, like, he explores the galaxy differently. He's still Borg. They're still connected on his ship. But he explores the galaxy differently than the Federation. Interesting. So that's my song.
So he's still in his, like, mini collective? That's fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to his mini collective. Michael?
I liked how they introduced Hugh into this episode. They didn't just... He just kind of walked onto the scene. It wasn't some big hoopla. And I agree. His acting is incredible. I think he's done a really good job. One thing about a show I know when I like it a lot is when I want to know the backstory. And I want to know what happened to Hugh between, you know, TNG and now. You know, whether it's... I don't know. I hope they do like a novel on that or something, because I'd love to know what happens to him.
And Iborg is such a treasure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that episode.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes, sorry.
I believe it is.
All right. So that Romulan, let's talk about him for a sec. I do feel like he's evil is being like emphasized a little too much, so I do expect a turncoat moment where he's like, haha, screw you, sister, I'm on Soji's side. That being said, I do think the, can I tell you a secret? I may be falling in love with you is definitely a trick.
Oh, yeah.
He's not on our side yet. That's a big lie.
Of course.
And you guys already know I like that actor, so whatever. He's good. Soji, I haven't mentioned it before, but her acting's been a bit of a struggle for me. Like, she keeps touching her hair and to get it out of the camera and stuff like that. And I'm like, girl, you gotta breathe. But she did better in this episode. I believed her more. It is difficult to play a character like that because she has to be like wide-eyed and innocent and simultaneously know everything. I'm not necessarily going to disagree with you about her being a Mary Sue, but I have a feeling that has a lot to do with the reveal. So I'm going to talk about that in my theory later.
Are we waiting to talk about the sister? Because I need to say something about that.
Yeah, go.
The sister is the twin brother.
I'm not sure they ever specified that they were identical twins.
Oh, snap.
Snap.
Then... Now, I'm not sure anymore, and I'll sit back down.
I think the reason you thought that they would be identical is because when you heard that he had a twin, you were like, oh, he's also a robot. So, Android. So, they never specified that, but maybe we will see. And
so, yeah,
I'm always in for some extra trans headcanons because people so rarely put actual trans characters into shows. Yeah, headcanons are great.
I feel like they do it this time.
I really... freaking hope they do. I will be extremely excited. If there's one thing that I can say about Star Trek now and then is that it doesn't treat tokenism. It actually treats minorities, people of color, women as characters, and it doesn't make a massive deal about it. Like Uhura, let's go all the way back to TOS. There was that episode with the creature that was becoming what everybody else wanted. And for Uhura, it became this big African guy who spoke her language, literally. And Like, that was great. It was just like, you know, it spoke to her heritage without using any stereotypes. I mean, it did do the, you know, they have to be the same race, but this is the 60s. Yeah. Yeah. And you have to make some allowances for that, or else we will never be able to develop. Like, if we can't forgive our past selves for making mistakes that we fixed, how are we going to fix our mistakes now and improve in the future? Anyway, you guys said all that needed to be said about Hugh, except for one thing that I'm just going to tack on. His costume designers, his makeup people did an excellent job with that whole left part. The eye, the patch of skin, the little Borg bits underneath. It looks like it's the same kind of height as the right side of his face. They just did a great job there. all right. So let's talk about the scene. You know the scene I'm talking about. The prophecy scene. Who wants to go first? Yeah. Michael, I keep making you go last, so you're going to go first.
Yeah, I thought it was a good scene. I thought the actress that played, I can't remember the name of that lady. The
Romulan.
Romulan, lady. Yeah. I thought she did an excellent job. Again, it just made me want to know more about it, which I guess that's the point of the show. I mean, I want you to tune in to next episode. But I just wanted to know, what they call her, the Destroyer, right?
She said there were two, one's good, one's bad, and the bad one is the Destroyer, yeah.
Yeah, and she kept asking, you know, which one were you? And I just want to know what, you know, if saying somebody's the Destroyer is a pretty heavy thing to say. It's so it just makes me want to know more about it. But yeah, I thought the scene was great.
Keith,
let's see. So, yeah, like her being Destroyer does seem once again like I'm the most important person in the universe. I think the best way they could do it is like a thing they kind of people wanted to do with Rey, where if you're that powerful, you keep, you know, steamrolling everything. What if you are the last guy? Like, and she turns around and like all this time she's been playing people, but I guess that wouldn't be it if she's getting controlled by what I think is her AI mom.
AI mom is funny.
Yeah. So yeah. I thought it was, I couldn't tell if this line she keeps doing is great or too on the nose. The shared narrative experience, understanding trauma rooted in deep archetypes relevant to today's news, and that's like and like how people work through their trauma, like I think she's talking about Star Trek of the fandoms. People have like the shared narrative framework of Star Trek, and that connects them, and I guess like probably all of us have used these as like parables to get us through the traumas that we've experienced in life. Yeah. So
a little meta.
Her saying it out loud like that, I was like, I think I like that, but was that too on the nose? I'm still deciding. And then also once again, like Star Trek was parables, like where you get your self-contained story and like everybody's pretty human in it, and you can understand like the reason why some aliens are assholes and why the Federation stand is against it. And this, they're mirroring the news too much. They're not explaining enough the realness behind why people are assholes, and they're kind of telling you like which side is good.
Yeah,
there, that's like the problem I'm having with it. But yeah, I like the scene a lot.
That's
well acted, well fun, and yeah, we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, what's that other dude doing with a gun in that room? Like, how did he get that? Okay.
It was a security guard.
Yeah.
I think she grabbed it from a security guard. She didn't grab it from another one of the Romulans. It was a security guard. Yeah.
I hope not. Ooh, interesting thing about makeup that I kind of laughed about. I noticed that every single ex-Borg Romulan was missing one eyebrow. Not the same one. Never both. Just one eyebrow. They're all missing one eyebrow.
I did not pick up on that.
Jay, it's your turn, by the way.
I thought the scene was actually really interesting. The whole like the talk of, you know, I know you from tomorrow. I mean, like it really, you know, and then which one are you, the one that dies or the one that lives, you know, and you're the Destroyer. I mean, it's like prophet-ish, you know, which is like, or prophetic or whatnot. You know, it's like, right. I'm curious. It's kind of like what Michael was saying. It really makes me want to know what's going on. Like it makes me think like, okay, how does she know what's coming? Like, what's going on? You know, and it's there's just something there that I can't quite put my finger on that I'm very, very interested to find out about. You know what I'm saying? Because
I'll put your finger on it.
But it's one of those things where it was a very good scene. It was amazing. It was really interesting to see Soji use the tactics of, like, hey, they don't have front doors, or they have fake front doors, but the real way in is through the back. So she moves the chair and goes behind her and tries to do things in a very specific Romulan way. And it works, you know, and she starts to open up to her. And it was just very, very well thought out, and just very, it was just a very, very cool scene. And then just the whole, like, future, like, can she see the future? Can she, like, how does she know what's coming? What's that about? Like, was it assimilated and then it's stuck in her mind? Like, somehow the Borg can see, like, what's coming or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, it was a great scene.
Or maybe it's something about her specifically. Maybe Romulans secretly have truth, like, fortune telling abilities that they haven't told us about.
Yeah.
I did quite like how that's just bullshit. I did quite like, as you pointed out, how they kind of showed us glimpses of Romulan culture through what she did and didn't respond to. What I found particularly interesting was this. Soji is trying to get Romulan mythology, and the lady says, we don't have a word for mythology in Romulan. She says, what's your word for mythology? And she says, news. Soji translates this as being like, I just didn't understand it the same way she did. To me, when she says there's no mythology, there is news, what she actually means is mythology is, you know, fake. They're parables, they're exaggerations of what actually happened. They're constructed stories to explain why the world is the way it is. Whereas Romulan quote-unquote mythology is news, it's actual history. They don't have a created mythology, they only have what actually happened in their past. That's how I translated that. So anything that Soji kind of like believes as being a myth, you know, like the destroyer is very like Shiva kind of duality. One of them is the creator and one of them is the destroyer. So that sounds like mythology to her, but then the Romulan lady is saying, like, that's not a story, that really happened.
I think we're hearing the voice of the writer in that line, where he's saying that I'm using the shared framework of the narrative,
Star Trek.
That's relative to the news, and that they think it's their moral responsibility to use this platform they have to help America. Which I appreciate that idea so much, and like I do agree with what they're saying. Even
I just wish they hadn't done it in Star Trek.
Yeah, they can't do it like this because it's pandering. It's not going to get through to the people who might need to hear. Anyway,
yeah.
But I needed one of my sci-fi shows to be positive, just one.
Well, there's.
I was
going to
say. I think we've been talking about a show.
Don't say
that,
it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god.
I know it's on TV. Just put that out there.
Okay,
it's pretty popular.
Jay or Michael, do either of you have thoughts about that mythology's news thing?
No, when I heard that, it was kind of like they were talking about the whole fake news stuff that, you know, we've been dealing with.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah.
That is different. Actually, I didn't think about that.
Especially because the Romulans are so secretive and kind of controlling of each other. Fake news seems like a thing that would definitely happen there.
Yeah. So.
Sorry. Let's use its original name. Thank you. Let's use its original name. Propaganda.
Right. Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, I'll admit, I didn't even think of that stuff. What I think of is how like mythologies are based on truth. They're expanded, they're elaborated on, but at the core it's almost it's just that everything is based on some sort of truth, and it's just knowing how to weed out the truth beyond all the bloat, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's nice. Good sentiment.
Thank
you, Jay. See, we needed you on Team Positive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We were dying without
you. I'm back, baby.
Okay, so that's actually my whole list that I wanted to talk about, except for the theories, which I want to keep at the end. And one thing I'm going to throw in really fast. Something tricky going on with Star Trek Picard. I haven't watched for episode 3 the next time on, because episode 1 and 2, both of them, next time, like, next on Picard, they have shown us characters that were not in the next episode, and yeah. I feel like they're playing with me. Like, in the first episode, they were like, Jerry Ryan! Wait, wait. But we haven't seen Jerry Ryan yet. At the end of the second one, they were like, that Romulan with the sword! We haven't seen the Romulan with the sword yet.
At least for the first one, this is a thing that's they've been doing for a couple years now, where you do your first big episode, woo, welcome here, and here's the preview for what's going to happen in the rest of the series. That's what I've been seeing in a lot of TV shows on the first episode. On a second episode, I'm not sure if... Yeah.
I'm just feeling slightly lied to. Episode. Like, they're like, yeah, they here are the cool the characters, episode. Keep watching. I mean, they're not going to be in this yet, but keep watching.
I think they are letting that go as of this episode, but if they do that then, sense. Yeah, that's not cool.
I think you're right, because this episode is, like, finally on the ship, so we're done with setup, and hopefully we'll get into the...
Well, they said the first three episodes were just setting it up, so, I mean, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right, so that's... Now that I've mentioned that, that's my whole list. Michael, is there anything you wanted to talk about?
The only thing I wanted to mention was I loved and I got goosebumps at the end when he said engage on the ship.
I'm
sorry if I'm the only one, but that I was like, I literally, I was like, oh my God, it's, you know, I just, it gave me the good feels. So I
squealed like a child.
I think
yeah.
that was a moment for everyone.
Yeah. I squealed a little bit too, Jay. I'm not going to lie.
I smiled pleasantly.
Oh,
I smiled pleasantly.
That's, oh, come on.
No, I didn't hate it.
That's good.
I would like to have been blown away. I wasn't because they spammed it too much in the previous.
Yeah. I knew so it was coming, but it was still awesome.
It was, setup to it was pretty brilliant too, because everyone just looks up at him. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's on the ship, and he's not the captain at all.
It is an old
man. But everyone just looks at him, and then he just kind of smirks, and he's like, engaged.
He's the captain.
He will always be the captain.
Chair. While we're gonna talk about the engage moment, they also did some emotional trickery there when he looks at the chair and it starts the TNG theme.
I'm sure
we all noticed that too. I gotta laugh about it though, because this is the first episode that we didn't get the Earl Grey reference, so instead they made it engage. But again, you know, like, fan service is not a thing that I'm a fan of, but obviously many fans are a fan of fan service, otherwise they wouldn't be called that. So I'm not upset about the engage thing. It was a nice moment. I liked it. I just, whenever I hear sound cues from other things, I'm always like, you guys, you're trying to trick me, because Star Wars did it all the time where they were just like, here's these beautiful sound cues. And then I was like, wait, the content of this is not the same. Don't try to make me cry just by using this piece. The music. Hold on.
My only gripe with that was just like, personal gripe, being petty, is... it's not a Starfleet ship. Like, you know, you're playing the music, and you're saying engage, and we're like on a Mass Effect Firefly ship. Okay. But yeah, I'll let it go.
I think it was reflecting his inner feeling of like returning to the captain's chair.
Yeah.
On that, I have a note where I do feel they're doing good with Picard. I feel this is kind of reverse Jedi, reverse The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Jedi is now a cautionary tale, and I think Rian Johnson did that on purpose. Like, no one wants to see that done to their favorite character ever again. A lot of people don't want to see that, I mean, I'll say. And, like, that's what I was waiting for. And, like, a lot of people were worried about, like, we're going to get Picard and, like, he's going to hate science and exploration and helping people. And, like, we're like, oh, God. And then we have to see him become himself again. But he's not that. He's all for helping people. Mm-hmm. He couldn't wait to get back into space. Yep. I like that they're paying respect to him, but he has changed as a person, which does feel organic.
Yeah.
So I am okay with that. And I'm liking that Picard is being treated with respect.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the things that feel different about Picard to me don't feel like they're internal, but more in response to the fact that this is no longer a utopia. Mm-hmm. So, like, Picard in a non-utopia is like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So many of my friends are like, not many of my friends. Some of the people that I watch with have been like, Picard is not himself. And I joked about that earlier when I said he wasn't TNG Picard, he's Nemesis Picard. But what I actually meant by that was that, like, it's a lot more action-y, and he's a lot more willing to just shoot people, whereas in TNG he was more like, hold on, let's try diplomacy first. But I really do feel that the essence of Picard has been preserved.
Well, and it's been 20 years, so he's going to change just, a little bit.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's just being affected by the world being...
And I liked hearing him say, "You're a Starfleet to the core." I'm like, all right, that because like a lot of people are mad that in Discovery we saw a lot of shitty Starfleet, and then here we're seeing asshole Starfleet. But Picard remembers what Starfleet means, and that means a lot. That, and then that we have a character that he believes in, makes me feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. That, like, all right, you know, they aren't trying to subvert our expectations, like saying the Jedi suck and Starfleet's always sucked. No, no, no. There's a ideal that Picard was a part of that he still believes in.
And that this Han Solo guy secretly has a heart of gold.
Yeah, and I think
Picard can just smell your heart of gold.
Yeah, and I think just, okay. You know, yeah, it's been 20 years, but and he's changed, but just don't call him JL, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Except for Rafi, where, you know, they had a relationship we didn't get to see. So, I, you know, like, for me, I wouldn't call him that. But Rafi, I don't know what happened to you and Picard. So,
I mean, we don't really know her rank. If she was, like, first officer on the Stargazer, then, like, maybe I get it.
Well, not the Stargazer. No, no. Not the Stargazer. Oh, no, she was the first Stargazer, yeah.
The Verity.
The Verity. Stargazer was before the ship after. Enterprise. Stargazer was before. Yeah, you're right. Like, with the Doctor he saw again, which... Are we going to see him again, or was he there just to remind us that people think that Picard might be going crazy?
Well, if you remember, he did have, in All Good Things, we find out that he has that disease, that brain memory disease.
Oh, yeah.
Aromatic syndrome.
We talked about it in episode 22. I mean, Jay, you have to listen to the podcast.
I know. I'm such a bad co-host. I'm sorry. I've been sick. That's no excuse, because all I've been doing is I'm on disability for 3 months. I don't know why I haven't listened to it. I know. No excuses.
It's okay, we forgive you. Yeah.
Aromatic syndrome is a degenerative neurological disorder.
Yeah.
Classes.
So we did talk about it briefly. Let me just cover. You guys can. I don't remember what your opinion was. No,
don't worry, I'll go back and listen to it. You don't have to revisit it.
The thing about the syndrome was that I felt like it would have been really fun for them to narratively mess with, like, is Picard crazy or not? I feel like they made it clear that he's not crazy, and they just kind of brought it back so that it gives other people an excuse not to believe Picard, you know, like members of Starfleet and stuff. But I do like that they referenced it anyway, because it means that they're paying attention to the details of Picard's life. Just like the theme comes from the flute.
Yes, yes.
The Resigan.
Yep.
All right, so Michael, that was your thing. Keith, is there anything you wanted to talk about that I haven't brought up yet?
Let me see here. I think I've hit all of my notes. And they mentioned that it sounded like, let me know if I heard this incorrectly. Did they say that in that room were the only Romulans ever assimilated by the Borg?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
I thought I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed kind of weird. And then it made me think about, like, why are there lots of different humans throughout the galaxy, but we don't have lots of different kind of Vulcans throughout the galaxy? Like, you don't have a planet with, or do we? Actually, we might have seen one, actually. So, yeah, I was just saying, like, you don't go to a random planet and you go to random planets, you'll find a human. You don't go to random planets and find alternate Ferengi or alternate Vulcans. Except for this one where they had to hide themselves behind the hologram and...
Okay, that reminds me of a TOS scene. We run into, this is who mourns for Adonais. We run into one of the ancient Greek gods on a planet, and when I say we, I mean Kirk, Spock, you know, and whoever random person they bring down on the planet. I think it's Chekhov, and then a lady that we never see again.
I remember this episode.
And they talk about, is this the right episode for this? Whatever. He's like, haha, I was a god on Earth. And Kirk's like, I believe that there was an alien species that showed up to Earth when we were still very young and that professed themselves as gods because we couldn't understand their powers and left. Maybe it is a different episode. But somebody mentions how the humans are everywhere because there was an ancient civilization that went around, kind of like Stargate, dropping,
seeding
the different planets, and Kirk goes, no, we have proof of evolution on Earth, we know that didn't happen. And then Spock goes, actually, this fits with Vulcan mythology, that might have been where we came from.
It was
also
actually
a TNG episode.
Yeah.
Was it? Dope.
Yeah,
I remember TOS the best because, I'm a TOS girl at heart.
There's this amazing, like, archaeological chase around the galaxy between, like, all the major races, and then they get to the final planet, and this hologram goes, "Ah, you have found me. I am why you guys all look humanoid, because we seeded the galaxy, and then we left, and you're all, like, one person, and be cool to each other.
Be excellent to each other.
Like, Everybody besides the humans were like, "That's stupid. Fuck that. Lies. I'm out.
Peace."
And then the humans were like, "Oh, that makes sense." But like, but what my question was more like, that's why you have humanoids around the galaxy, but we don't have different kinds of Vulcans or different kinds of Ferengi or different.
What
kinds
are you talking about? Romulans are different kinds of Vulcans.
Yeah. They are actually Vulcans.
Yeah.
Originally.
But they've developed head ridges since.
But over in the Gamma Quadrant, you can find just like a normal human.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can't find a normal Klingon. It's just a world building, like.
Yeah, it's like humans writing about humans, kind of things.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up too, because it gives me a great example. I just want to talk about fan service again for a sec. I do think that there's different levels. There's like self-referential, where you have Picard ordering Earl Grey, and that can be fine. I personally don't like it. I know you guys do. I have no issue with that. I think it's great that people think it's fun. A fan service I will never complain about is like that TNG episode pulling that TOS episode reference and then building a story from it, because it's used for the story building. It marries them together. It reinforces the fact that they happen in the same universe. It shows that the writers paid attention to their source material. And I love stuff like that, which is why I love so much that they brought up the aromatic syndrome, even if I feel like they didn't use it to its full capacity. It's dope. Please. Anything else you wanted to talk about, Keith?
That is all of them.
Okay, Jake?
I've covered my hatred of abbreviation, so yeah, we're good.
That was the most important part of the episode. So before we hit theories, just your favorite part of the episode and your least favorite. Reverse that order: your least favorite part of the episode and your favorite part of the episode. Jay, I think I know what you're gonna say for your least favorite. Yeah, but
least
go
favorite
on.
Abbreviations. What a shock. JLXB. It's like, come on. But my favorite actually would be the engage. Engage. I mean, dude. I just squealed like a little kid. It's like, come
it
on.
Just feels
yeah,
good.
Like, I mean, of course, it's like the easy win, but I'm like, it just makes my heart happy.
Yeah. Keith?
My least favorite would be Mr. Pleasant Man Face, who should be going to his cafe instead of being hanging out with Picard. And then my favorite thing would be. That Picard's still himself, that he hasn't given up all of his core values, and that he still cares about it, even though the world's changed around him. He still cares about things that I cared about in Star
Trek. Beautiful.
Michael? My least favorite part was that his two Romulan companions didn't go with him.
Yeah,
it seemed like with their fighting skills, it seemed like a natural thing, but anyway, and my favorite part was the character Raffi. No, I'm just kidding. It was the engage part, of course. I love that. I could almost hear Jay squealing from here, from Colorado. So,
let's see. My least favorite part, probably just the whole Vasquez Rock thing. The like, I'm you're rich and I'm poor. Just because that just like that was the final straw in like breaking the Roddenberry trek for me. Like, at the very basic core of Star Trek, it was like, the Federation goes out to discover new planets because we've already solved Earth. Well, we're not even in a post-scarcity... Amen. It's not even that our attitudes have changed, we're not in a post-scarcity world anymore. I mean, like, what happened to the ability to just make food with the replicator? Like, why is that happening? When we went on Earth in DS9, Sisko's dad was running a restaurant because that's what he cared about, but note that people came into his restaurant and nobody paid for the meals. They all just came in and had a good time because there is no money, because it's
social
it's
commentary.
Okay. But if your social commentary is so important, then you have to remove a base part of the world. I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Amen. Woo!
USA. So again, I'm just going to think of future Picard as being like, Picard from TNG landed in an alternate universe, where apparently we don't need replicators. Oh, which brings up a funny thing. Synthahol, I guess, is not a thing anymore because everyone's actually drinking. But I'm not sad about that. I think the concept of synthahol was kind of ridiculous in the first place. That, like, we would drink fake alcohol that doesn't make us drunk. Like, sorry, alcohol doesn't taste that good.
Yeah. I thought it still made you drunk. It doesn't?
No, I don't think so.
Ooh. No wonder they're always hiding that.
Exactly.
Romulan. Yeah, right, for real. Get me that illegal Romulan ale. And
it's medicinal.
My favorite part... and I don't want to devalue some of the other stuff that's going on. There are other things that I like, but I was just blown away by them. The 14 years ago uniforms are so dope.
Agreed. I want one.
Yeah. Ha!
Like, I would switch my STO character to that costume because it's just, make a show with those things in it. Please.
It looks like a paint to sew, but it looks so dope. It looks so dope. Okay. So my favorite part, let's talk about theories. And you guys are going to have to get used to me pulling this out, so maybe you can plan ahead. So I don't, put you on the spot every time. But Jay's going to go last, because I feel like I'm springing this on him too quickly. Keith, do you have any theories about what's going to happen in the future? Like, maybe about this, like, the twins being the destroyer, one of them being the destroyer, or about what's going to happen with Hot Romulan, or whatever.
Now I'm a little salty because you called me out on how the guy never said he had an identical twin. I thought it was a prophet, and I was gonna be like, yeah. I was like, guys, look, I know the future. Behold, this is the twist you guys don't see coming because he mentioned a twin. We haven't seen him yet, but we did see one, and she called him a brother. And oh wait, maybe they're just twins like that. God damn it.
Sorry.
So yeah, that's what I had prepared, and I was gonna be all like, put on my crown and cape and be all cool.
Hey, but I mean, they didn't specify that she was his twin. Maybe he has an older sister and a twin.
Oof.
You might still be right. You might still be right.
I think you're right now. I think that's just his twin. It's not, there's no sex change. There's no twist on that one.
All right, so, well, I'm sorry I wrecked it for you.
Other than that, what would happen in the future is that, well, they got to find Maddox. Mm-hmm. And I'm positive that Maddox is behind the AI mom.
Yeah. You had that theory episode one, and when AI mom popped up again, I was like, you know what? I think Keith was right.
Yeah. That's all I can think of for now. If I come up with anything while anyone else is talking, I'll say so.
Ooh, and actually, you bring up an interesting point. Side note. Soji knew about her sister.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't recall her sister knowing about Soji.
I saw that too, but
since the hologram was lying to them anyway.
No. Like, didn't they do the agent that I do like with Picard? They did that investigation, and it shows they'd been talking to each other, right?
Yeah. Oh, were they talking to each other? I thought that was like her face had logged into her sister's account.
Actually. But I thought her AI mom. They talked to one of them about the other one, and they knew about each other. I thought.
I know Soji knows about her sister, but I wasn't sure it went both ways.
Oh.
Same. I thought for some reason Daj didn't know. That
no,
she
I
had
think to, I think she
watch
knew.
Again.
But then
I think she
they
knew.
Did that investigation. Yeah. Then they did that investigation, and the thing they were catching for is two faces looking at each other that are the same.
Mm.
So I think they called each other. I think when they were doing the investigation, they. That's how they found Soji, was because Soji and Daj were talking to each other, and the computer thought that Soji was Daj and got confused for a minute because it's like, why are you calling in if you're calling out? And that's how they caught it.
I definitely
they have AI and holograms, but they do not perfect.
Well, but they're two genetically identical androids, so they're the same.
True.
Yeah. I definitely translated that the other way, that the way systems work now is that you can kind of log in to your own account anywhere because it uses facial recognition, fingerprinting, whatever, voice prints. So if you go on, if I right now went on vacation to Japan and then went into an internet cafe, it would know that it was still me because that's the systems are all interconnected. So I definitely thought that the computer somewhere had gotten a login from like the Romulus Borg cube for her, and that it recorded it as an error like 3 seconds later when she had different mannerisms or whatever, and it swapped back. I thought that's what that scene was saying. So we can rewatch it, or we can just like find out at the end of the season, I guess. But I'm definitely going to disagree with the meaning of that scene with you guys. And I have no idea who's right, because I don't remember that clearly either. So I guess, whoops, I guess we'll just have to rewatch Picard. But actually, that doesn't fuck with my theory at all, so I'm good. Not that concerned about it.
Okay.
Keith, you're good, right? That was all your stuff?
I'm good.
All right. Michael?
Yeah. I didn't really have any solid theories yet. I'm just curious to know how Maddox fits into all of it. And also Seven of Nine. I wonder how they're going to bring her character in. Because I thought it looked like, I mean, I guess Picard could go back to Earth, but it looked like Seven kind of was in his chateau or whatever, right, when she came across him, I thought. But I could
you
be
know
wrong.
I didn't watch the trailer.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Fuck. I'm sorry.
No. It's fine.
So forget everything I just said. No, I don't have any solid theories yet. I'm just excited to see what comes next.
Okay, so if you don't have any solid theories, what are the questions that are pressing on you the most, aside from where's Seven?
Mainly Maddox and what his role is in it. Because, I mean, he and Data became friends towards the end of like the show and everything. And so,
despite their traumatic beginning.
Yeah, exactly. So and I'm just wondering, I don't think Maddox, unless he kind of went crazy, I don't think Maddox would wish any harm on, you know, synthetics or humans for that matter. So I'm just curious as to what his deal is, basically.
Nice. Jay, do you have any theories?
Well, I will say.
And if no theories, pressing questions.
One theory
curious
I do
about.
Have is that I think that something is going to happen that's going to cause Raffi and Picard to become close again. Because, you know, it's one of those things where she's starting out so broken, and he is too. And, you know, even though she's like, I'm coming with you, but I'm not with you. You know what I mean? You're going to drop me off at Free Cloud. Mm. I feel like something's going to happen that's going to redeem each other, you know, to each other. I mean, so that's one theory I have. And you know, she's broken and we all love seeing people get fixed. You know what I mean? So hopefully Picard can be that to her. Also, I think that, considering we've never heard of the Jad Vash until now, and they're such this far back, like, entity, I feel like we're going to learn something that, I don't know, like, there's going to be more to it than just them being, like, a super secretive Tal Shiar. There's going to be more to it, since they're so anti-AI, or they're so anti, Android, and they're so anti there's so much going on, but I think that there's even more to it in the sense that I feel like it might even play into the you know, the prophecy, right? How they might have a way, like maybe that ship that got assimilated, maybe they were Jad Vash, or maybe she was Jad Vash. Like there's so much there that we don't know, because they've literally never been brought up. So I'm just very excited to... My theory is that the Jad Vash are somehow going to be able to have some kind of connection to that prophecy, and that prophecy is because of the Jad Vash and because of...
Or the Jad Vash exist to protect the
world
from the prophecy.
Yeah, so there's something tying those two together. I'm just not sure what it is yet.
I definitely agree.
And that's it.
Because you said that, then my new theory is that the Jad Vash, because they've lasted so long, and I've already said this in previous episode, we will be seeing them thousands of years in future, with a showdown with Discovery.
Yeah.
And also, unfortunately, I hope you guys are ready to watch Picard die.
How dare
do
you?
Not.
How dare you?
Keith.
They're going to do it. They're going to do it.
Keith.
I'm not the one. I'm not
making
the call.
Keith, you're officially off the podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not making the call. They're the ones that's going to do it.
Had
they're
one
gonna
captain
do it.
Die in the like.
We will burn CBS.
They already had one captain die in the most ridiculous way, so they don't have to shoot very high.
We're not talking about Kirk. No.
Oh my God! Generations is not canon.
Listen, if we want to talk
about Keith,
Generations,
you're back on the podcast.
If we want to talk about Generations, we're doing it in its own episode that I can never listen to again. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God.
All right.
The fury in anger.
Anything else?
Oh, I love this.
I could unleash.
Podcast.
Anything else? Aw, thanks. We love you too, Jay. Okay, you guys ready for my theory? It's long.
All right, go.
Mm.
Okay, so you'll remember that my theory about episode one was that Dodge was not really dead.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Here's my theory. The Zadvash are protecting us from a pair of twins that, like I said earlier, is kind of like similar to that Indian mythology where you have one that creates and one that destroys. Soji seems to be the only twin that we have left because they seem to have killed Dodge. My theory is mm-hmm. Soji and Dodge are the twins from the Romulan history way back when that the Zadvash are trying to protect the world from. Soji is the good twin. Dodge is the evil twin. Dodge will come back and turn dark.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And Data is actually not their parent. Maddox.
Oh, God.
Listen, listen, listen. Listen, listen, listen. I'm super excited about this theory, and I really hope it's right. Maddox lied about Data. The reason that Data worked is because he used a piece of Soji or Dodge to create Data in the way that episode one said that you needed a piece of Data to create androids the way that he was. Maddox tried to make Data perfect and he failed, hence before never being it's before, right?
You're talking about
hence
talking
before
about
never being as good as Data.
Not Maddox.
Oh, yeah, not Maddox. Shit. Yeah, you're so right. I'm talking about Nudian.
Oh, cool. Okay, that blew my mind. I was like, wait a minute.
Now,
I was like,
now, yeah, this is making more sense being cooler.
I totally fucked that up. Sorry. Okay, no, Maddox doesn't know. Nudian Singh lied about Data. He tried to create Data, and he fucked up with the other ones, and then he found out about the twins, having to have twins, hence Data and Lore, because of Soji and Dodge. He used a piece of Soji and Dodge to create Data and Lore. Maybe Soji is Lore's, quote-unquote, mother, and then Dodge's Data's, or vice versa. So that's why you have, you know, Lore and Data. Data's good, Lore's evil, then Soji and Dodge are good and evil. So we're going to go to Maddox, and Maddox is going to figure out that lie. So that's my theory. Dodge and Soji are the originators. Data was created from them. We don't know that. And the Zadvash are trying to protect us from whatever world-ending weird shit Dodge is going to do.
That is so awesome, it will never happen.
Shut the fuck up.
That is too good.
That is too good. I believe in it. Whoa. They must end it like this, please.
Good God, I hope you're right, but that's too good.
Plus, I really just want after episode 3 points. Okay.
Well, things would make sense then if that's what
they
did.
Okay, so that's my theory.
Because, yeah.
And for those of you listening, we are now on Pop Geeks, so you can find us on Pop Geeks. The great thing about Pop Geeks is that it gives us a comment section, so you can finally tell us how wrong you think we are or how right we think you are. And I would love to hear your theories too. Please just compliment mine. Thank you.
Yeah, and when I post it on my wall, if you guys are listening to this from my wall, please let us know what you think of the podcast, because it's fun to talk Star Trek with friends and fans. It's
listen, you guys, I'm exploding with the need to talk to people about Picard that will not insult me for whatever decision I make. You know,
she's like, Dodge.
Yeah. If you're one of those people online who are like, other people don't like Picard because of this or like Picard because of this, and I think that's a stupid reason and they're wrong, chill out, man. Be nice to your neighbors. Mm. Didn't Star Trek teach you that? Mm-hmm. We're great because we all have different opinions.
Yeah.
And that's how you create great television, great storytelling. And I love you all.
That's how you create great conversation. Because if we all think the same or feel the same, then it's boring. If we don't have different opinions and different, just different ways of viewing life, then it's boring. Exactly. So, I mean, no, like, please, I want people not to agree with us. I want people to, you know,
you guys,
like, tell me.
If the four of us had agreed on everything, this episode would not be twice as long as the actual episode we watched.
Right.
Seriously. I know.
Good job, everyone.
Hour and a half.
Anyway, so that's my theory. Last thoughts from anyone?
Oh, real quick, fun fact. I saw this online. I thought it was pretty cool. The guy that plays F8, mm-hmm. the android, you know, that kind of kills Mars.
The creepy smiley android?
So, Sabrina, do you remember how MAC Cosmetics had that booth in Star Trek? Vegas? 50th anniversary?
For the 50th anniversary, MAC came out with a Star Trek makeup line, which actually, Jay, that Christmas, one of my friends bought me some of those because she was like, you like Star Trek, you like makeup, here you go. So I have some of those. At the Star Trek 50th anniversary LA convention, Las Vegas convention, which is actually where Jay and I met. Mac had a huge display and they hired actors
and
to show
the
off
actor
the makeup.
So, that basically did the Data makeup is the guy that plays F8. Yeah. So he actually was at the Star Trek convention in Vegas on stage getting Data makeup put on, and now he is turned into F8. I mean, right? Isn't that cool? I just thought I saw that online and was like, that is just the coolest thing.
Yeah. When I go through the Easter egg hunts, like it does show like there's a huge, like I said, going back to Star Wars all the time. Mm-hmm. Like there was just so much anger that no one who was doing it understood how the world worked or like how things fit in the world or how to use proper references so they make sense. But here, like the opening theme for Picard is like the thing, the song he learned in that one
Inner
episode
Light.
Where he's trapped inside that
Inner Light
for a lifetime.
Of any show.
Yep. One of the best episodes ever.
In the history of time,
We get from there, we get that in the opening theme. That's caring.
Obviously, I disagree with some of the decisions that have been made by the writing team, but it's very clear that they actually care about Star Trek and Picard, and that's
absolutely
lovely. Yeah. More of people working on projects that they love. I prefer writing teams as opposed to individuals because sometimes with individuals you end up with something that's a little more just like fan fiction-y. Star Trek doesn't have that problem right now. I've only had that issue with Star Wars so far. But great love from the writers.
Agreed.
And it shows.
Word.
All right, so I guess that's all from us today. If you're listening, thank you so much. You can find the rest of the episodes at www.therearefohorsts.com. You can I totally mispronounced that and changed accents.
Was it four horses?
We're the horses.
All right, therearefohorsts.com. I can't
talk.
There
are four
hosts. You can also find us... You can also find us on Twitter at 4hosts. That's the number 4 that time. Most of those tweets are Michael. I think some of them are Jay. I haven't.
They're all
mine right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm responsible for all of them, unfortunately. Sorry. I apologize in advance.
Nah, the only offensive thing you've ever posted was on Facebook, so it's fine.
We'll talk about that later.
A whole other podcast.
But that's another story.
That's another story.
For our listeners, he just made a post that was like, haha, if you don't like Star Trek Picard, you're a jerk. And I was like, how dare you? But
when I posted that, I was like, wait to hear from Sabrina in 3, 2, 1, you know.
But it was a good fun. Like, I don't think you would ever be the kind of person to be like, you disagree with my opinion? Well, you're wrong and stupid.
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm not offended.
It's all in good fun.
Even if I said, I'm offended.
Yeah.
That was early Star Wars discussion. New
Star
Wars
God,
discussion.
Please. If you want to talk about toxic fandom, we can do it another time. All right, so once again, there are 4hosts.com. You can find us at 4hosts on Twitter. And I'm not sure exactly what the link is, but you can find us on Pop Geeks. Again, that's the one that's going to have the comment section. So if you want to tell us how wrong or how right or how much you disagree or agree with us, do it there. I'm going to lurk in the comments because I can't shut up about Star Trek. So I will see you there at the very least. I'm guessing you'll see Michael there because you're so active on the Twitter. And Jane Keith, I assume?
Yep. Yep.
Well,
I'll be up on there.
Yeah.
I got
we'll be
there.
So
time,
hit us up there. Right. And
thanks
so much
everyone.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
And keep looking up. That's bad reference. Hey, good night.
Bye.